Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari.
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिग्रहायक आचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद इज डिवन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय द मोस्ट मर्सीफुल लॉर्डशिप श्री श्री किशोर किशोरी गौरनताय जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुपुत्र महारानी की जय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय I think verse here is different. Now even it is not 31. The verse is, this is from some other chapter. Whatever is there. So we are reading from 9th canto. 16th chapter, verse number 29. We are going to be reading from 29 through 31. Vishwamitrasya Chaivashan. Maybe you need to open up in your phone. So it is 9:16:29. Yes, so like I will read, then you can recite. Vishwamitrasya Chaivashan Putra Eka Shatam Rupa Madhyamastu Madhuchanda Madhuchandasha Yevate Vishwamitrasya Chaivashan Putra Eka Shatam Nrupa మధ్యమాస్తు మధుచంద మధుచంద విశ్వామిత్రస్య చైవాశాన్ పుత్రాయేకశతాం నృప మధ్యమాస్తు మధుచంద మధుచందాశయేవతే. విశ్వామిత్రస్య ఆఫ్ విశ్వామిత్ర చ ఆల్సో ఎవ ఇండీడ్ ఆసాన్ దేర్ వేర్ పుత్ర సన్స్ ఏకశతం 101 నృప వాకింగ్ పరీక్షిత్ మధ్యమ ఆఫ్ ద మిడిల్ వన్ టు ఇండీడ్ మధుచంద నోన్ యాజ్ మధుచంద మధుచందాష నేమ్డ్ ద మధుచందాస్ ఏవ ఇండీడ్ తే ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దమ్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ బై శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. వర్కింగ్ పరీక్షిత్ విశ్వామిత్ర హ్యాడ్ 101 సన్స్ ఆఫ్ హూమ్ ద మిడిల్ వన్ వాజ్ నోన్ యాజ్ మధుచంద. ఇన్ రిలేషన్ టు హిమ్ all the other sons were celebrated as Madhuchandas. We are also going to be reading the translation of next two verses. Vishwamitra accepted the son of Ajigartha known as Sunashepa, who was born in the Bhrigu dynasty and was also known as Devaratha, as one of his own sons. Vishwamitra ordered his other sons to accept Sunashepa as their eldest brother. Sunashepa's father sold Sunashepa to be sacrificed as a man animal in the yagya of King Harishchandra. When Sunashepa was brought into the sacrificial arena, he prayed to the demigods for release and was released by their mercy. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this connection, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes this statement from the Vedas. Tashyaha Vishwamitras Vitramitrasya Ika Shatam Putra Ashu Panchashat Yeva Jayamsho Madhuchandasha Panchashat Kaniyamshaha. Vishwamitra had 101 sons. 50 were older than Madhuchanda and 50 younger. Here is the description of Sunashepa. When Harishchandra was to sacrifice his son Rohita, Rohita arranged to save his own life by purchasing Sunashepa from Sunashepa's father to be sacrificed in the yagya. Sunashepa was sold to Maharaj Harishchandra because he was the middle son between the oldest and the youngest. It appears that the sacrifice of a man as an animal in yajna has been practiced for a very long time.
Om Ajnanatimurandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Shakshur Unmilitam Yena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakathamayam Tatati Shvapatantikam E Krishna Karuna Shindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanushrute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarupasya Krupa Sindhupyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Shadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangun Langayate Girim Yatkrupa Tamaham Mande Shri Guru Dinataranam.
Class is over. So here we can see how Sunarshepa, he was like brought to the assembly of King Harichandra to be sacrificed as a man animal. Right now I am feeling the same. Giridhari Prabhu is bringing me as the man animal to be sacrificed because he is asking me to talk on these verses. I'm feeling the same. But we can see how Sunarshepa, he escaped from that. He was, it says, when Sunarshepa was brought into the sacrificial arena, he prayed to the demigods for release and was released by their mercy. So I'm seeking the blessings and mercy of the devotees so that we can speak something which is relevant to these verses, but we can learn from this particular pastime how this can be applicable to our own lives. So I quickly jotted down 5 points which is going to be relevant to us from either understanding why different kind of sacrifices or different things are happening. And second part is what we can learn from these pastimes. The first one, as Srila Prabhupada writes, it appears that sacrifice of a man as an animal in yajna has been practiced for a very long time. So we can see in nothing in Vedic, nothing which is prescribed in the Vedic literature is whimsical. There is nothing in the Vedic literature which is whimsical. Then one might ask a question, how come sacrificing humans? Definitely it is whimsical, that we might think. But all these have a particular reason. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is so merciful, is so compassionate. He wants all of us to go back home to Godhead. And Vedas, they are emanated from the Lord himself. So they have the same compassion towards each and every living entity. So anything and everything which is prescribed in the Vedas are geared towards that particular point. They want to bring some practitioner closer to Krishna. So as we can see in this world, there are people at different levels. There are people at so many different levels. We cannot teach everyone the same thing. So we cannot teach somebody integral calculus or differential calculus and all those, the first grader,
If you teach all of them to them, nothing is going to go in. So for a first grader, we need to teach 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. And as they learn that, we are going to be teaching them the next, higher level of math, and like higher and higher and higher and higher. Same kind of approach the Vedic literatures, they take. If someone is not at all following any rules and regulations, their life is no better than animal life. So Vedic scriptures, they don't say, I don't want to deal with anybody who is behaving like an animal. Vedic literatures, they don't say that. Rather, they prescribe certain things in the scriptures so that the person who is behaving like an animal at least can be elevated a little bit, so that the person can behave like a cultured animal. And once they learn to behave like a cultured animal, then the Vedic literature will take them to the next level. They can behave like somewhat of a human being. And later, like that, slowly, we see that in the Vedic literature, the gradual process is emphasized like so many times. Because if someone is going to say, it is like my way or the highway, no one is going to follow. And that is not true compassion. One can say like so rigidly, you follow my thing, otherwise that's it, you are going to hell or wherever you are going. So that is so rigid. That is not in alignment with the compassion of the Supreme Lord. That's why all these procedures are there in the Vedic scriptures, including sacrificing humans and animals and things like that. Like one word which is interesting here is that Srila Prabhupada writes in the translation, he is being sacrificed as a man animal. Though he was a man, Sunashepa is really advanced, so we don't want to say that he was an animal, but the main point is that even in for a very long period of time, Vedic scriptures, they do authorize some of these kind of sacrifices, but these sacrifices are in the mode of ignorance. They are not at all recommended, but if there is no other option, someone can do those. Then one might say, okay, for the person who is conducting the sacrifice, they might be aspiring for some wealth or followers or whatever it is. That is the reason why they are doing this kind of sacrifices. Then one might say, it is good for them if they are going to be sacrificing one human being. They get the benefit. What is the benefit for the person who is being sacrificed? There is no benefit, right? Apparently we might think that there is no benefit. But whenever someone is being sacrificed in this kind of sacrifices, often what happens is they sacrifice the people who are mode of ignorance, who are not utilizing their body for the purpose of inquiring into the absolute. So when someone is misusing their body, it is better for them to leave the body than take a next birth, and because that body might be probably better suited for inquiring into the absolute. So even those who are being sacrificed, they get some benefit. So nothing in the Vedic scripture is whimsical. So that being said, I don't want all the devotees sitting in the class to after the class take me and sacrifice me. So that is not the point. And especially because it is saying that Sunashepa was the middle son, that's why he was selected as the sacrificial, like, you know, like man animal, and I'm the second son. Like, you know, my father had four sons. I'm like, that's why when I was reading this, I was smiling. Now I disclose too much, so please don't get any ideas. The point is that Vedic scriptures, they don't deal with anything whimsical. The main aim of like all these Vedic scriptures is to elevate someone gradually so that eventually they can reach to a pure devotional service. That is why we have so many different sacrifices or different procedures which are prescribed in different Vedic scriptures. And often when we read without the proper understanding, we might be thinking that, oh, like, you know, Vedas are wrong or that or this or whatever it is. But there is nothing wrong in Vedas. It is slowly, but at the same time, we can see that all these things, none of us are going to be doing any of those. So from our perspective, we can see that these are wrong. Like, absolutely, they are wrong from a person who is like much more like elevated. But we need to understand that all these are geared towards bringing someone gradually so that one can take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. So that is the first point I wanted to make. The second point is in the purport of verse number 31, Srila Prabhupada writes, when Harishchandra was to sacrifice his son Rohita, Rohita arranged to save his own life by purchasing Sunashepa from Sunashepa's father to be sacrificed in the yagya. So actually Harishchandra's son, like his own son, was supposed to be sacrificed in this particular sacrifice, but was trying to be clever, and then he, like, you know, purchased somebody else to be sacrificed, like, on his behalf. The reason why I wanted to talk about that is that all of us, to varying degrees, we have that particular tendency in us. Because of, like, all the anarthas we had accumulated over, like, you know, like millions and billions of lifetimes, we have, like, you know, like all these tendencies. One of the tendencies is that finding a scapegoat. We might have committed a mistake, instead of agreeing that, sorry, like, you know, like I actually messed it up, it was my mistake, instead of doing that, we always try to find someone else, like, you know, like, who is the cause of that mistake. You know, like, I did everything perfectly, Prabhu or Mataji. It was that devotee who did not bring the offering on time. That's why, like, you know, like, my offering to the Lord was, like, late or something like that. We might be coming up with, like, you know, like, 110 excuses. So that tendency is, like, you know, like, always, like, you know, it is there to varying degrees. So that is one thing, like, we need to be, like, very, very careful of. Because that is going to lead to the fault-finding mentality. So when we find faults, we are going to be committing, like, offenses. So we need to be careful of, like, you know, this tendency of finding scapegoats. So we need to be, we need to take, like, you know, ownership of whatever, like, mistakes, like, we committed. Instead of trying to say that, oh, like, you know, it is because of this devotee or that devotee, I did this or that and whatever it is. So that is the second point. And third one is, in here we can see that how Sunashepa was, like, you know, being as sacrificed. Then one might think, I'm not being sacrificed. Like, you know, I'm, like, you know, nicely sitting in front of, like, Kishore Kishori and Srila Prabhupada. So I have, like, you know, no, like, fear. I don't need to worry about it. Yeah, this is some Sunashepa who was being killed. Why I care? Often, like, you know, that is the tendency when we read different, like, you know, pastimes. But all of us are being the Sunashepa. We are being like sacrificed at each and every moment. How? Because Maya Devi is chopping our head down with the sword of time. She is chopping our head down with the sword of time. We might be thinking that, no one is chopping my head. I am safe, so I don't need to worry about it. It is Shunashepa who has to worry about this. But we need to think about what kind of parallel we can learn from this past tense, which is going to be applicable to us. So all of us are being sacrificed by Maya Devi. Actually, in one lecture of Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he points out how about the wonderful not necessarily qualities, like how wonderful Maya Devi is. She finds some way or other to trick somebody. So he was giving an example of Maharaj Bharat. Yeah, Maharaj Bharat. And actually, it is somewhat relevant to this particular verse, because Maharaj Bharat, when he took birth as Jada Bharat, he was in the same situation. He was being sacrificed. So from that perspective, these are related. So where Maharaj is saying, Radhanath Maharaj, because we have so many Maharaj Bharat and Radhanath Maharaj, I want to make sure I point out which Maharaj it is. So Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he points out how wonderful Maya Devi is. If you look at Maharaj Bharat, he did not have any material attachment. So he ruled pretty much the entire planet. And he had unlimited wealth and followers and very nice family and children and all those. But when it was time for his children to take over the kingdom, he just gave up everything. He gave up everything. So Radhanath Maharaj was giving the analogy in that particular lecture, that Maharaj Bharat, he gave up his kingdom and follower and family and everything like a person gives up his stool. Nobody is attached to stool. So once somebody passes stool there, they don't want to even look at that. So like that, he was not at all attached to anything material. Immediately he gave up all those. And he, same thing, he did not have pride, he did not have any of those. Because he immediately gave up his followers, his kingdom and everything. But still, Maya Devi find a way to attack Maharaj Bharat. Because he was very compassionate. Devotees by nature are very compassionate. He become so compassionate towards the deer. The baby deer, which was born due to the miscarriage of the mother deer, which jumped into the river because she heard the roar of some wild animal. She was so afraid and jumped into the river, and out of that fear and jumping into the river, the baby was born prematurely, and the mother deer leaves her body. And Maharaj Bharat, he was seeing all this when he was meditating on the banks of the river, and he was so compassionate. He felt so compassionate towards the deer, and then he brings the deer to his ashram and he was caring for the deer. And that is how Maya Devi attacked Maharaj Bharat. Though he gave up all the material attachment, still she found a way to attack him. So Radhanath Maharaj was making a point in that lecture that all of us, we need to be very, very careful. We need to be very, very careful. Why? Because Maya Devi is an expert. She is the external energy of the Lord. She is so expert. She will find our weakness. She will find our weakness and she will attack us. And another point he made in that lecture is that, and Maya Devi is like, you know, again, she is a wonderful expert. She doesn't attack the devotees all at once. She attacks the devotees slowly. She will attack them so slowly. Like, you know, he became compassionate towards the deer, and then he was caring for the deer. And then initially he was thinking, like, what is this? The deer is coming and, like, you know, licking all these, like, items I am collecting for the sacrifice. He was, like, you know, going and collecting the new ones, and he was thinking, oh, like, did I do something proper? Or it, maybe it is not proper. Like, the deer is taking so much of my time. Like that initially he was thinking. And later on, he becomes so used to it, and he becomes very much attached to the deer. That's how Maya Devi attacks us. Initially, she is going to find, like, our, like, weakness. But for us, she doesn't need to, at least in the case of Maharaj Bharat, she did not have so many options. She had to, like, attack Maharaj Bharat because of his compassion. For us, no problem. She can attack us from, like, you know, like, different directions. So, once she finds the weakness or weaknesses, she can easily, like, attack us through those weaknesses. And early on, we will be thinking, oh, like, you know, whatever I am doing is wrong. I should not do like this. But later on, so we will become really lackadaisical in our approach. We think that it is okay. We will be coming up with some kind of justification, which is related to the second, like, point I made about our tendency to find scapegoats. When we don't want to take the ownership of, like, whatever we did, so that tendency is going to be, like, you know, like, very, very strong. So, like, we will be justifying things, and, like, you know, we will be putting the blame on someone else, or we try to justify all whatever we do. So when we are not strictly following some principles, or we are, like, you know, becoming lackadaisical in our approach, we might be thinking, oh, what is the big deal? This is Kali Yuga, Prabhu. We cannot control, like, our mind. It is very difficult to control the mind in Kali Yuga. I'm not saying, the scriptures are saying. Like that, we try to come up with some excuse or other, like, you know, to justify our own inconsistencies or inadequacies. We try to justify. Oh, like, it is not just me. Look at the devotee who had been practicing Krishna consciousness for the last 50 years. He or she is also having the same problem. Who am I? I am just a neophyte, Prabhu. Like, you know, like, it is okay. Like that, we try to, like, come up with some justification or other. We need to be, like, you know, like, very, very careful, like, you know, like, about that. And the fourth point, like, I wanted to make, is that how a particular type of sacrifice, like, you know, the Maharaj Harishchandra is, like, you know, involved in some kind of sacrifice. So, like, all these, like, various kind of sacrifices are mentioned in the Vedic literatures. The applicability of these sacrifices, they depend upon the time, place, and the circumstance. It is not that because something is mentioned in the Vedic scriptures, we can immediately use those. So, like, for, like, our, like, this particular Yuga, Kali Yuga, the sacrifice for Kali Yuga is chanting of the Maha Mantra. So that is the other point. Though we are talking about like human sacrifices, it is not relevant to us, because the sacrifice for this age is chanting of the Maha Mantra. So we don't need to worry about why someone did human sacrifice and how to do it, or all those things we don't need to worry about. We need to focus on our own sacrifice, which is chanting of the Maha Mantra. Because in the Kali Yuga, the most intelligent people, only thing they do is chanting the holy names. And we need to become intelligent, and even if we are intelligent, we need to become more intelligent, so that we can get rid of all these offenses while chanting the Maha Mantra. We might be intelligent because we took shelter of the Maha Mantra, but we are at least I can speak for myself, who is not that intelligent, committing so many offenses while chanting the Maha Mantra. And taking shelter of the Maha Mantra is more on mental platform than going really deep into taking full shelter of the Maha Mantra. So that is the we can talk about so many things about the Yuga Dharma, but in the interest of time we will not do that. So that is the fourth point I wanted to make. The final point is in verse number 29, it says Vishwamitra had 101 sons. He had 101 sons. Often when we read different pastimes in the scriptures, we see that all these exalted personalities, they have so many children. Then often we might be kind of bewildered. What is this? We are, the purport is saying, these are pure devotees, are so exalted personalities who had complete sense control, and then 1,000 children, 101 children, 10,000 children. Maybe somebody made a mistake when they wrote the purport, or I don't know what is happening. That often we get we are kind of bewildered. So there is a specific reason why these great personalities, they have so many children. And everything again boils down to compassion. So devotees by nature are very, very compassionate, because the Supreme Lord is so compassionate by nature. And when we surrender to the Supreme Lord, to whatever degree we surrender to the Supreme Lord, we will exhibit the same level of compassion. Whenever someone is qualified, it is their duty to have children, to beget children who are qualified. Why we need to have qualified children? Because if each and every one of us are going to think that, we need to be renouncing everything and all of us are going to become brahmacharis, and how the movement is going to go forward, right? We need to either train qualified individual, and often it is much more difficult to train someone who had been already contaminated so much. It is much easier to train children who are born in the devotee family. That's what we see during Sunday feast. We have all this nice children. Even though they are so tiny, they sing all the verses so beautifully, and they lead kirtan and play mridanga. They are naturally born devotees. It is much easier for us to train them. That's why all these exalted personalities, they beget lot of children. If someone is capable of getting 10,000 children, they get 10,000 children. If Vishwamitra is able to get 101 like he got, like 101 children. It is not for sense gratification. It is to establish the dharmic principles, the religious principles. Without that, the especially like, you know, like in like Kali Yuga, like as the Yuga is like, you know, like progressing further and further, things are going to be degrading more and more. So these kind of principles are going to become much more like valuable. That's why before, like, you know, the devotees, they beget children, there are, like, you know, different samskaras one has to go through, like, you know, garbhadana samskara, so that the devotees can attract a soul which can be easily trained to be a devotee, instead of, like, you know, like attracting, like, you know, any soul. The womb of the devotee can attract the soul which is suitable for us to easily train to become a devotee. So like all these, like, you know, various things which are mentioned in the scriptures, they have a specific like purpose. Also, like, you know, like here we can see that though he had like 101 sons, Vishwamitra Muni had like 101 sons, all of them are called as Madhuchandas, because the 51st son, the middle son, is the one who is like very like well known. So that is also like, you know, like another thing, like, you know, in Bhagavad Gita we can see like how whatever standards a like great personality sets, common men, they try to follow those standards. Though he had like 101 sons, not all 101 become like, you know, so great. Like, you know, Madhuchandra, I don't know the details based on his like, you know, like piety or whatever like austerities he might have been like performing. He was like very well known. Because of that, everyone was called as Madhuchandas. That is like, you know, like another thing, side point. So here we can see that though externally, when you look at these verses, we might be thinking, what am I going to speak about? There is nothing here. Vishwamitra had 101 sons and one person was being killed, like, in a they are trying to sacrifice him as a human animal. There is nothing for us to learn. But just like, you know, like when I looked at this, I just jotted down like, you know, some points like, you know, right before the class to see like what we can speak about. If we spend a little bit more time, we can even like, you know, come up with more points which is going to be like applicable to us. So that is the final point, like, you know, like I wanted to make. We can learn from like each and every verse in like, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam and other like scriptures. Based on how we are approaching the scriptures, they are going to be revealing themselves to us. That's why they are called as revealed scriptures. If we approach the verses with the mood of learning from those verses, then we can identify points. If we approach the verses like, okay, 101 sons, like, you know, Vishwamitra probably is a sense gratifier, human animal, what is this, Vedic scriptures authorizing all these human sacrifices, maybe Vedic scriptures are not bona fide. That's why, like, you know, Lord Buddha, he, like, you know, said, okay, we are not going to be following any of them. Like that, you know, like when we approach based on our mood, the scriptures are going to be revealing different things to us. So that is the final point, like, I wanted to make. So as, again, like, you know, like, as you see, just by going through, like, some of these verses, which seemingly looks like we cannot learn anything from, but already we made 7 points. If you go deeper, like, you know, we can make like more points. So that is like additional thing I wanted to like discuss about. So let's stop here and see whether there are any like questions or corrections or like additional points. Yes, Prabhu.
Krishna Prabhu, and thank you for your class. And I didn't know you came up with those points right before class, so it must be empowered. So that was a nice class. Thank you. You mentioned a pastime, Jada Bartha, and one thing I appreciate about that pastime is you mentioned he was also sacrificed, and he was like treated like crap. But we see in this pastime as Jada Bartha that I appreciated. He actually wanted to be treated like crap. Because you mentioned he was the deer in his previous life, then he became Jatabartha. And in order for him to avoid that association, he wanted people to disrespect him. His family, he acted like he was dumb, deaf, and retarded. And so his family mistreated him, society mistreated him, they insulted him, urinated on him. And also you were mentioning that people are not attached to their stool. In the Jatabartha pastime, it's described that he covered himself in his own stool, actually. So this reminds me of one quote. It says, when life treats you like crap, think of it as fertilizer meant to help you grow. Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagya Banjiva Guru Krishna Prasadi Poi Bhati Lata Bija. The one thing I appreciate about Lord Chaitanya, he told Rupa Goswami that the living entity is wandering all over the universe looking for happiness, but all he sees is people treating him like crap based on their nationality, creed, color, class. But when one is fortunate, he comes in contact with the guru who says, actually, when you're treated like crap, as fortunate because it helps the Bhati Lata Bij, the seed of devotion, grow. So my question is that how can we develop this mentality like Jada Bartha, where just like on Sunday feast, nobody ever says, welcome to the Hare Krishna temple, would you like to be treated like crap? No one ever says that, but Jada Bartha said that. So what are some steps we could do to be less concerned about the spotlight and more concerned about the inner light? Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Nice question. We can make many points. Maybe we can look at, two things. First one is, if we want to become, humble, the easiest way to remain humble is to preach. Go out on book distribution or things like that. When you go out to preach, we are going to be naturally putting ourselves in the middle of people who are not going to be receptive. We might be fortunate to have some people who are very receptive. That is why we are going out to preach. But often, if one person is going to take one book, maybe 10 or 9 people are going to be criticizing or saying something you guys have nothing else to do, why are you wasting your time, or you guys are a pest, or whatever it is, people will be criticizing. So spiritual life is we can consider spiritual life as a double-edged sword. If we are not careful, we are going to be, even though we might be following certain practices, we can easily fall down. So if you look at, when we look at it in the scriptures, association of devotees is, the importance of the association of devotees is emphasized again and again and again and again. But when we are not careful in the association of devotees, we can easily commit offenses, and we can also easily become very proud. We can easily become proud. The reason why we need to be in association of devotees is that we can get rid of all these anarthas. But when we are not careful, that association, which is going to help us getting rid of the pride, is going to be the cause of cultivation of more pride. If someone is going to come and say, Prabhu, you sing in the kirtan so beautifully, Prabhu, you nice the pot so nicely, Prabhu, clean the floor so nicely, and so on and so forth. You may be thinking, maybe that is true. If one devotee is saying, you are doing the service nicely, we can say maybe this devotee has lot of appreciation for me. So maybe because of their love, natural love towards me, they are saying you are really good. But
second devotee, well, maybe there is a little bit of truth to it. And tenth devotee and 100th devotee, then we will be convinced. Yeah, I think I am the best, like, you know, a singer in the kirtan, or I am the best, like, in, like, pujari, or I am the best person who is giving Bhagavatam class, or I am the best person who is sweeping the floor. Like that, though we are engaged in devotional service, all these things can, like, you know, help us in developing the pride, which we don't want. So that's why, like, you know, Srila Prabhupada, like, mentioned so many times, if anyone who is going to be, like, preaching, their advancement in spiritual life is guaranteed. Why? They are doing something for the pleasure of Krishna, but that service is a thankless job. It is a thankless service. So when we, like, you know, like, get little bit of, like, you know, like, pride, wow, today I distributed 5 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then next comes one person and treats us like, you know, anything. Like, okay, you guys are that and this and whatnot, chastises, then that pride immediately goes down. So when somebody is, like, you know, engaged in preaching, like, you know, typically karma, we can see that lot of times we don't get immediate reaction. The reaction we get is going to be, like, you know, we are going to be experiencing this after a long period of time. Only, like, you know, there are some instances where we get immediate reaction. When someone is engaged in preaching, the reaction is almost, like, you know, like, instantaneous. We get little proud, then next person comes and smashes the pride into pieces. So it makes somebody, like, you know, remain really humble. And when somebody, like, goes out and distributes, like, book and all this, they naturally, like, develop the appreciation for the devotee association, because now they are putting themselves in the middle of people who are not, like, you know, like, appreciative of devotional service and how difficult it is to keep their mind focused on Krishna consciousness. When we are, like, you know, like, going outside, we'll be seeing, like, you know, like, so many different personalities, or the mind can easily, like, you know, like, wander. Then it is very easy for someone to like, understand about their inadequate nature. So that is, like, you know, like, one thing which, like, all of us can do, like, you know, take up some menial service for which we cannot get any, like, appreciation that easily. Especially, like, you know, most of the times we can easily find lot of services like that. So it is not at all difficult to find services like this. So by us voluntarily accepting some services which is not going to be bringing us to the spotlight, we develop that mood. Then we are really doing the service for the pleasure of Kishore Kishori, not because, like I'm doing this service because I want the devotees to, like, appreciate. So whenever we get appreciation for certain service, we don't get the full benefit of that service. That's why whenever someone observes Ekadasi, like, vratas, let's say someone observes Nirjal Ekadasi, like, you know, like, every time. For each Ekadasi, someone is, like, you know, observing Nirjal. So let's say, like, I'm doing that, and I might go on so proudly talk to Krishnarchana Mataji and say, Mataji, I have been observing Nirjal Ekadasi for so long. Then she will be like, wow, that is so wonderful. You are such a great, like, Vaishnava, you are observing Nirjal. Then I am immediately diminishing the benefit of, like, observing the Nirjal Ekadasi, because one of that benefit, I already reaped that benefit. What is that benefit? Somebody praised me. Wow, you are so great and that and this. And that, from that, I am like, maybe I am a great devotee. Like after all, like I'm observing Nirjali Ekadasi. Anyways, I'm not observing. Like I'm just like not trying to like make a point. Like I'm observing Nirjali Ekadasi for like each and every Ekadasi. So maybe like I'm a great devotee. Like that, like you know, that pride immediately like you know like creeps in. So we need to be like you know very very careful. That's why it is not at all a good idea to like you know when we are in a position where others are going to be like you know praising us, unless our mood is proper, it is going to be detrimental to our devotional service, because we can become like really proud. Because one of the types of like anarthas is the anarthas which are arising from the practice of devotional service. So by practicing devotional service, we can cultivate some anarthas. Instead of getting rid of anarthas, actually we can cultivate the anarthas. And pride is one of them. Because when we are going to be practicing devotional service, there are going to be a lot of side effects. We will get the material prosperity, our followers, our fame and all this. These are going to take one away from Krishna. So that's why like we need to be like very, very like careful. That is the reason why it is important for us to understand. First of all, like you know, like we need to understand what is the nature of the pride and how to safeguard ourselves from like you know developing that pride, and how can we remain humble. When we read like you know different pastimes, then we can learn from these like pastimes how we need to be really meticulous. So even great personalities like Maharaj Bharat was like you know fell like victim to like Mayadevi. Mayadevi is so strong, she can very easily like trick us into do whatever we don't want to do. She is so powerful. So we need to be like very, very careful. That's why like you know taking instructions from the spiritual master and senior devotees, all these are really like important. Anyways, there are more things which can be said about like you know your like question. Are there anything else? Yes, Mataji. The microphone.
So thank you for the wonderful class. I had a question which is like when we speak about Jad Bharat, then we speak about how he fell down after he had attachment for the deer. But and then you also said the devotees have natural compassion for all beings. So if you have compassion for somebody, ultimately attachment will stem out of it, because a devotee will tend to place themselves in the place of the other being. And a deer is more in need of compassion because he really cannot help himself. He doesn't even have the human form of life. And subconsciously, Jad Bharat might be thinking that this being cannot even help himself. He needs to be liberated from this animal state of being. So if he was attached to it and he was like whatever we meditate on, we slowly attain that form. The question is then, should we be like, and then you also said that we are going to like emulate the qualities of God, because God is very compassionate. He does not think that does this person deserve this or not. He just gives mercy because he is merciful without reason. So then somewhere we also have that quality that when we are, or we should have that quality that when we are compassionate on something or somebody, we are not going to think whether this is going to lead to our ultimate downfall or to our ultimate elevation, even in the spiritual realm or the spiritual world. So, yeah, my question is a little vague. I myself am not very clear about it. But then the ultimate thing is when we are doing some action, like even helping anybody, or even should we be more considering the fact that this is going to be for our own benefit, that we will be elevated to be closer to God, or should we be more, because every being has a part of God in it also. So then should we be also, should we be just kind without to a person who needs help, not without thinking whether what is it going to lead us to? And then also, yeah, there is a couple of questions. And then also, like, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that remembrance and forgetfulness come from Him. So if we are committing a mistake, then somehow or the other, He permits it. I know I don't want to blame God for everything. Like you said, we always blame somebody else for our mistakes. And so I ultimately blame God, because I can't blame anybody. So I blame God, you know, because He basically can. He's basically responsible for remembrance and forgetfulness. So then, basically, whatever we do, He permits it. He can immediately correct it and say, you know, when we are going downhill, He can immediately correct us. Look, you know, this happened this time when you did this. So wake up. Why are you doing this? So yeah. So like even in the case of Jar Bharat, if he would have remembered how his past lives led to his downfall, he would not have associated with the deer or something like that. Just
okay. Thank you, Maji. So two questions, and so we are like already late, so I will try to keep my answers short. For the first question about how we need to deal with compassion, because devotees by nature are compassionate, and in the example of Maharaj Bharat, we saw that his compassion was the cause of his downfall. How to understand this? Compassion is a divine quality. It is a transcendental quality. But when we say compassion, we are talking about the transcendental compassion. So Maharaj Bharat's compassion was not transcendental compassion. His compassion was material compassion. When he saved the deer, like little deer, from the water, he was thinking, without me, who is going to take care of this poor animal? Without me, this animal is going to die. He was thinking, without me, everything is going to stop. There is nobody who can save the deer. The Supreme Lord, who delivered the deer in some sense, He knows how to provide for the deer. He knows how to, He knows whatever is good for the deer. But Maharaj Bharat was thinking, without me, this deer is going to die. Without me, nothing is going to happen. I need to take charge. So that is the mentality which led to his fall down. Not really his compassion. His compassion was material compassion. And because his compassion was material, he was thinking, I am protecting the deer. He was neglecting his spiritual practices. Every time, initially he was thinking, the deer is coming and disturbing my sadhana. And later on, he was thinking, when he don't see, when he goes out to collect fruits and vegetables and all those for the sacrifice. Initially, he used to leave the deer in the ashram. And when he was going to the forest, he will be thinking, what happened to my deer? Maybe some tiger or lion or something like that came and attacked my deer and ate my deer. So I need to protect him. Without me, who is going to protect? Like that he was thinking. So he used to carry the deer. Like on his shoulder, he used to carry the deer and go and pluck fruits and vegetables. Actually, like one of the injunctions in deity worship is that we cannot offer any food which had been seen by an animal. But he was like violating a lot of things by carrying the deer and plucking the fruits. Why we cannot offer something which is seen by an animal? Even many of us, this particular statement, where it is said that man-animal, many of us behave like the man-animal, though we are in the form of man or a woman. Whenever we see prasadam coming, it smells like this kind of khichdi or that thing or this thing. We mentally, even before it is offered to Kishore Kishori, we offer it to ourselves. Animals, they don't have any discrimination. As soon as they see the food, then they will be salivating. Very nice fruit, very nice this. Let me enjoy. So now it is considered as already offered to the animal. How can we offer it to the Supreme Lord? So like that he was violating different things. And then when the sacrifices are going on, instead of completing the sacrifice, he was he will be meditating for 5 minutes. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. What happened to the deer? Did you go out of the house? Then look around and he is here, he is safe. Then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Is he taken care of properly? Like that he was getting more and more materially attached. Spiritual attachment or spiritual compassion is good. He should have done. But anyways, whenever we talk about the pastimes of great personalities, we need to be very careful. It might not be their actual personality, but the Lord might have orchestrated this to drive home a particular point, so that people with Kali Yuga brain like us, for us, we need to hear something 1,008 times before we even slightly understand. Maybe there is some truth to whatever I am hearing. So that's why all these pastimes are there. So we cannot just say that Maharaj Bharat is gone case or something like that. There might be so many different reasons why something might have happened. But when we look at it from a perspective that he committed a mistake, the reason why he committed the mistake is that he did not have spiritual compassion. His compassion was material. If he had spiritual compassion, he should have focused more on his own sadhana. He, instead of taking care of the body of the deer, he should have taken care of the soul of the deer. Let me do this, my sacrifices so nicely, and feed the deer with prasadam. And instead of offering the boha which is seen by the deer and then offering it to the Lord, and instead of offering prasad of the Lord to the deer, in some sense we can say that he offered prasad of the deer to the Lord. Like that, when we look at the material compassion, it takes one away from Krishna. And what was the result? Because he was too much attached, he was neglecting his spiritual practices. He was not chanting properly and he was not doing his things properly. He was always thinking about the deer. When he was looking at the moon, he was thinking about his deer, because the moon has some spots. He was thinking, wow, even the moon, he has the spots the footprint of my deer. Maybe the moon god was so attracted by my deer and he wanted to protect my deer from all these wild animals. He took my deer and kept in the moon planet. Like that, whatever he was thinking about like, you know, his deer. It is like whatever, like gopis did the same thing. Whatever they looked at, it reminded them of Lord Krishna. But whatever Maharaj Bharat, he looked at, it was reminding him of his deer instead of reminding him of Lord Krishna. That was the reason for his fall down. If he cared for the soul within the deer, that is spiritual compassion. But his compassion was material compassion. So that was the reason. Compassion is not bad. Compassion is very good. And devotees by nature are compassionate. But whenever we have compassion towards somebody, we need to make sure that our compassion is spiritual compassion. We are compassionate towards the soul, not the body. Often these great qualities, again, like, you know, these are compared in the scriptures as double-edged sword. Initially we might be thinking that, you know, like, I am compassionate towards the spirit soul. Later on we might be, our compassion might be like limited to the body, and that is going to result in our downfall. So that is the answer, or partial answer, to the first question. And second question is, if the Lord says from him comes the knowledge and remembrance on all this, ultimately he is the one to be blamed. So that is, in essence, like how you put it. It is not what he says is that we are going to be remembering and forgetting based on whatever, based on our adhikar. Based on our adhikar. If we are supposed to forget something based on whatever, like, in a karmic situation or things like that which we have to deal with, we will forget. Or if we have to remember something, we will remember that. So everything is based on our own action. Then you might say, it doesn't make any sense. If he can, like, you know, so easily make us remember and forget with a fraction of a second, why not he makes us forget that we were envious of him and go back to Godhead immediately? He is compassionate, right? He is compassionate. Why not he show that compassion by letting us forget all the bad things we did and then, like, you know, go back to Godhead? If he does, he is taking away our free will. So I cannot tell, like, you know, like Giridhari Prabhu and tie him up, like, in a year, and say that, Giridhari Prabhu, you love me. Say, like, you know, you love me. Otherwise, I'm going to beating you up with a stick. So eventually, he is going to say, he might not feel the love towards me, he is going to say, I love you. Because he knows the consequences. I'm going to tie him up, and anyways, I'm not going to do that. Because he is sitting in front of me, like, I'm using him as an example. Because I don't want to use Mataji as an example, so I just use Giridhari Prabhu. So, like, you know, if I am going to tie him up and, like, you know, like, ask him, like, you know, tell, you love me, he is going to tell, he is going to love me. Is that real love? Absolutely not. If the Lord is going to do the same, then that love is not true love. That is why we have the prison house. Like, you know, like, whenever someone commits some offense, he or she is put in the prison house so that they can, it is called as correctional house. We need to rectify our mistakes and we need to correct that mistake. If we don't correct, what is going to happen? When we are sent out of the prison, we are going to be committing the same mistake again, then we will end up in the jail. If the Lord is going to help us forget all the things, but we are not getting rid of that tendency to lord it over the material nature, even if we go to the spiritual world, we are going to fall down. But the Lord says, when you come back there, you are not going to fall down. How come he can say that? Because he is helping us in getting rid of that tendency. Once we get rid of all these tendencies, then he assures, even if you have tendency which is coming up after you come back home to Godhead, I will take care of that. I will give you that knowledge. I will give you that remembrance so that you will not fall down again. But we need to do our own part. We cannot expect the Lord to do everything. Then we will lose the free will. If you lose the free will, we are like, you know, the same as a stone. Like, you know, if we don't have free will, we are same as that. Then there is no real love. So that is like partial answer to the second question. Of course, like, you know, there are like many things which can be like discussed from different perspectives. And it is already 8:51. Sorry, we took like more time. So we will stop here. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.